Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
In this passage, number one, the source of comfort, God, that's the source. Secondly, when is comfort given? When we need it. And then why comfort is given. Finally, our response to comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. May God add his blessing on this reading of his word as we reflect on it this evening. Father, we ask that you will send your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of comfort, to minister to us this evening. We have no idea about many of the things that are going on in other people's lives. We don't even understand the things that are taking place in our lives and the lives of our families so often. But you know. Not only do you know, but you are in control. And so, Father, guide us this evening that we may find some rock to stand on, a place where we can rest, a place where we can have confidence, not in ourselves, not in things in the world around us, but confidence in you. And so, Father, minister to us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The source of comfort, God. When people hurt, they usually want to be helped. One of the problems is that most of us have our own ideas about how that help should come. When people need comfort, they often find it in less than totally satisfying ways. Some find comfort in noticing that others around them are just as bad off as they are, maybe even worse. It's the mindset of misery loves company. Things are sure to get better. You know, suffering, that's inevitable. Suffering is a part of life. And so it's best to just sort of ignore the pain. Forget about it insofar as you can. There's really no help out there anyway. So just grin and bear it. Some people cover up pain. with some kind of excitement or pleasure. Others attempt to block it out. Alcohol, drugs, all kinds of substances. Still others try to find relief by always talking and complaining about their problems. I don't know how they think, but maybe they're thinking, well, if I can make everybody else miserable, then I'll feel better. Or at least I'll have some company, like we said a little bit ago. Well, maybe not all of these approaches are totally wrong, but in themselves, none of them are enough. Paul directs us to the best and really the only source of comfort. Look at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Our Father is a Father of compassion. I don't know what your fathers were like, your earthly fathers. A lot of people have fathers who are not very compassionate. And they read something like this in the Bible, and they have absolutely no comprehension of what a comforting father would be like. Our God is a God of mercy. The clearest way we see this is by looking to his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul reminds us that the God of all comfort is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we know what the Lord Jesus Christ was sent to do, to comfort us from sin, to rescue us. And so, really, I think Jesus is the focal point of our comfort from God. Look at verse 5. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Any comfort that we get from God must somehow be connected to the sufferings of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 2, verses 9 through 18, and then over to chapter 4, verses 14 through the first 10 verses of chapter 5, we are told that Jesus became our great high priest. He became our sympathizer as a result of his sufferings for us. He knows what we are going through. He's been there. He suffered. He had persecution. People were trying to kill him all the time. People who should have been his friends. And his suffering was really worse than ours could ever be. And one of the reasons why his suffering was so terrible was because he didn't deserve any of it. You and I, for one thing, a lot of the suffering that comes into our lives is a result of stupid things we do. And so it's just the consequences of our own lifestyle and the ways that we carry on in life. So, you know, what do we expect? You act like a jerk, you ought to be jerked around or something. I don't know. Anyway, I didn't write that in here. But Jesus understands because he had it worse than we did. And so he knows where we are. Jesus intercedes for us. But he does more than that. He sees to it that the Father comforts us. Secondly, when is comfort given? Well, it's given just when we need it. Notice verse 4. The Father of all comfort comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. He comforts us in our troubles. I don't know about your experience, but I find that in the world, when things are going well, I have all kinds of friends. But when trouble comes, sometimes those friends are not around. They're not as available to me as they are when things are going well. Then we just, we have such good times together. But when we're really hurting, sometimes we find ourselves lonely. Nobody there to comfort us. In contrast to the world, the God of all comfort is there when we need him. Many times in the book of Isaiah, we're reminded of God's comfort. 49:13. Shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. In Isaiah 51, verses 12 and following, we're encouraged not to be afraid of what other people can do to us because God comforts us. God is bigger than all of our enemies and all of those troublemakers around us. Then in chapter 66, verse 13, we're given the picture of a loving mother comforting her whimpering child and told that God comforts his people in the same way. In fact, in Isaiah 49, just before the passage that we read for the call to worship, same thing there. And later in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10, Paul shares an experience that he had with pain, in which he was reminded that God's grace was sufficient to meet his needs, even in the midst of continuing pain and suffering. You remember that passage? Paul prayed three times that thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. Maybe it was, some people think it was his eyesight. We don't know. But anyway, Paul prayed, Lord, take this away from me. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. He didn't take it away. But in the midst of that pain, Paul experienced the comfort of God. Experience that God comforts us in proportion to our troubles. His grace comes to us when we need it, not before, not too late, but it's there when we need it. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, we're told, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Well, granted, this is not directly tied with comfort, but certainly it's there It's there. God knows where we are, and he will not give us too much if we lean on him. Now, if we're trying to go through life by ourselves, oh, man, we're going to be in trouble. But if we turn to him, he will comfort us. Jesus also assured his disciples in Matthew, Jesus there puts them into a situation where they're before the president or governors or something, anyway, leaders, and apparently they're being cross-examined or something. Anyway, they're in a difficult situation, and Jesus says, don't worry about that ahead of time. When that situation arises, I will give you words to speak. I will take care of you. God knows where we are. And he, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. If we have a relationship to God, he will provide for us. Notice also that the Holy Spirit is called by Jesus the Comforter. And if the Holy Spirit is living within us, the Lord will not always remove our troubles, but God will comfort us when we need it, with all the comfort that we need. Why is comfort given? Of course, the most obvious reason why we would want God to comfort us from our point of view is because we're hurting. I'm in trouble. I want comfort. I need comfort. I'm out on a limb. Certainly our loving Father in heaven takes that into account. He is, after all, a compassionate God, the God of all compassion. Another obvious reason why God comforts us is because it's part of his nature. He is the God of all comfort. As I mentioned before, the Holy Spirit of God is the Comforter. Comfort is part of God's being. And if he's our God, then he cares. He comforts us. However, the why of God's comfort to us that I want to emphasize this evening is repeated by Paul several times in these verses. Look at verse 4. The God of comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. God wants us to be channels of comfort and blessing to others around us who are hurting. And there are plenty of people around us who are hurting. How much more meaningful it is for us to be able to say to someone, I've been through something of what you're going through, and the Lord comforted me. I know something of the pain you feel. I know God's grace is sufficient to meet your need. I know you can make it with Christ's strength, because he helped me. Now, obviously, we can't say, I know exactly what you're going through. No, that's not comfort. But certainly the Lord enables us to use our experiences to minister to those around us. Be ready for God to use you in that way. Now, we don't know exactly why problems come into our lives. God's ways are far beyond ours, but there's a kernel of truth here. Part of the why is so that we can help others. God, I mentioned this a little bit ago. God prepared his own son to minister to us by putting him through all kinds of trials. And so also, the Lord can use the things that we experience in our lives to help others. But in order for this to happen, we need to open ourselves up comfort as we can. Just open yourself up and let God fill you with that. Well, he talks about comfort overflowing. Now, you know, if you're all tied up in yourself, you don't even have enough comfort for yourself, much less to have it spill a little bit out to somebody else. But Paul says, it ought to overflow. Let the Lord fill you up with his comfort. We dare not shut ourselves off from that healing, helping power of the Lord. We cannot close our ears to the life-changing power of God's Word and expect to be used by the Lord to comfort others as Paul says we should. Finally, I want to point out what Paul mentions in connection with our response to God's comfort. Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That was a phrase used often by my friend Ed Smoggy. I don't know if any of you listened to Unshackled ever. Ed Smoggy's story was featured on Unshackled one time. Ed was the director of Anchorage Rescue Mission in Anchorage, Alaska. One evening, I went to the mission and I met Ed. He was a mess. His face was all scratched up. He had a black eye. His lips were all swollen. Ed had been attacked in the alley behind the mission. Okay, Ed. How do you say, praise the Lord, in that situation? Praise the Lord, he only hit me twice. Oh, that Ed, I tell you, he was a character. Unlike Ed, though, we are so engulfed in our troubles that we forget about the comfort we have received. We forget that things could have been a lot worse. In preparing my message, I've got a blank file on my computer for writing sermons, okay? I think it was Thursday. Anyway, I had my sermon all written, and then I made an outline. Well, when I make my outline, I open another file, and I minimize those two files, my sermon on one side, the outline on the other, okay? So I was working on my outline, and once in a while, my cursor goes into the sermon, and it makes some changes in there that I don't want to save. So I could see, you know what happened. I saved my outline file, and then I saved my sermon file, but I didn't save the changes. And I was working on a blank file, so I went back to the blank. Where's John? Is he here? John. I called John. I said, John! Help! I almost cried. So, you know, I preached this thing way back in history, but my sermons that I preached back in history, some of them I wonder, you know, that's why I said, you know, God chooses weak people. I mean, my sermons, if you think these are bad, you should have heard my early ones. But anyway, my sermon is gone. Oh, man, I got it. So I called Joel, my son. Joel, come on, help me. Tell me I can get it back. Well, he said, Dad, I don't think so. But you know what he said? He said, Dad, that sermon will be better because you will have written it twice. So I was comforted, you know? Well, that's kind of a dumb example. I mean, you guys, that's nothing compared to the problems that we have. You know, that was just something I could laugh about. I didn't laugh that night, but anyway. So anyway, where were we? Okay. Ed, praise the Lord. And I did. I praised the Lord. And I don't know whether this is any better than the other one was. Joel says he thinks he can still get that sermon back. So if I get it, it's better than this one. Well, I'll preach it again sometime. Well, you know, we should expect God's comfort. And we must receive God's comfort. And then, when we expect it and God gives it to us, as he has promised to do, then we can praise the Lord for his comfort. Some people seem to be content to just wallow in their misery and troubles. It's almost all they talk about. Now, as Christians, we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't do that. The Lord has given us better things to do with our time and energy. We are created to praise our Creator. Once again, Isaiah 49:13. Maybe you saw this when we went through it. Shout for joy, O heavens, rejoice, O earth, burst into song, O mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. If the heavens and the earth and the mountains are to do these things, namely, shout for joy, heavens, rejoice, earth, burst into song, mountains. Now, if those inanimate things, not created in God's image like you and I are, if they respond to God's comfort, to God's chosen people, how much more should those chosen people, you and me, who have experienced God's comfort, I mean, those mountains, they don't experience comfort, but they're praising God. Shouldn't we do it? Kind of a dumb question, isn't it? Yes, we should. Paul mentions another response from us produced by the comfort of the Lord. Notice verse 6. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. Now, certainly, no one enjoys trouble and suffering, but it doesn't do an ounce of good to continually fight against such things out of a spirit of anger and bitterness and rebellious complaining. how much better it is for everyone, especially the one who is suffering, to patiently endure the pain, if that's what the Lord has for us, to experience the peace and comfort of the Lord. Paul says essentially the same thing in Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. There Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given to us." Now, all of this presupposes a relationship to God Almighty. And if we have that, we can rejoice in the midst of sufferings. We are equipped to experience peace and joy, even in the midst of the... And you hear about it. You know, the Voice of the Martyrs has records of people who praise the Lord as their heads are being chopped off. It's possible. God wants it to be that way. May God work in us in such a way that we can accept His blessings to us as they have been described here in these words of Paul and the other passages that we referred to. And may we be able to do this even in the midst of trials. I want to conclude the message this evening by just reading on through the next few verses here in 2 Corinthians 1. Paul says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our abilities to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us, as you help us in your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." Pray for one another. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, this passage is so rich. We just begin to scratch the surface. But Father, make us hungry for righteousness, hungry for the things that you want to do in our lives, that we may be witnesses of you, of your grace, your mercy in our lives. And so bless us that we may go forth to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151. or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.